You guys, this is Matt. We have two shows coming up in November, and they are real gags, people. On November 7th, we are part of New York Comedy Festival. We're so excited. Bowen and I are pumped to bring Culch War and I Don't Think So Honey Deathmatch to the Villain stage in Brooklyn on November 7th. This is going to be two teams. One team Matt, another team Bowen. Boo. And they're going to be going head-to-head to find out which team can deliver the best I Don't Think So Honeys. This is a head-to-head deathmatch tournament competition, and Bowen and I are going to be captaining two teams. We have an amazing blue ribbon panel we're going to be revealing very soon. It's going to be very good. November 7th, Culch War, New York Comedy Festival. Tickets on sale now. And then back to basics, bitch. On November 18th, we're going to bring in our third edition, I can't believe it's been three times, of I Don't Think So Honey Live. 50 comedians all killing it on the stage. You in the audience getting your laugh on, getting your gig, getting someone's phone number. I think a show is a really good place to meet someone. It's like you're having a good time. You don't have to talk about shared interests. You can talk about the show. It's happening right there. I don't know. I think it might be a good idea. So come as a single person or come with a new date. But either way, come. To either show or both, we have Culch War on November 7th at New York Comedy Festival and I Don't Think So Honey Live, Brooklyn Podcast Festival on November 18th.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. Snack a snack-a-roo-roo.
We have several different snacks out in front of us today, and let's say what they are.
Please, we have a Pepperidge Farm favorite, but underrated, Santa Cruz. It's a deep cut. It's oatmeal raisin, and honestly, I'm going to say something.
Go.
Maybe it's because I'm not a cookie person, but I prefer oatmeal raisin over a chocolate chip.
Bitch, I always prefer oatmeal raisin
Thank
over
you.
Chocolate chip.
Thank you. I didn't know this.
If I had it my way, chocolate chip would be banished.
Yes.
I feel that oatmeal raisin is the only cookie.
Legalize oatmeal raisin. I don't want chocolate chip coming in, walking into the club thinking it's the shit.
No.
Oatmeal raisin is the unsung heroine.
Do you really believe this?
Yes.
Or are you tickling me?
I'm not. Why would I? I didn't know this about you, first
you
of all.
You didn't know this about me?
No.
I'm an oatmeal raisin bitch.
I'm an oatmeal raisin bitch for life.
Have been since a young age.
Since
I think
the
this
jump.
Is what connects us.
Since the fucking jump. Okay, what
talk
else
about,
we have?
Talk about the variety of this candy.
Here we go. I mean, M&M's, a cultural institution. We've got pretzel. We've got crispy. What's the difference? They're subtle.
And of course,
the classic milk chocolate M&M.
Now, I had the idea before we started to empty out all the packages and put them on the table.
And do a little taste test
And
game.
we would go and pick from the M&Ms, and we wouldn't know what we were getting, a pretzel, a crispy, or a milk chocolate.
Shapes, give it away, though.
Oh.
Between the pretzel and the crispy, it's like, those are tough, but the milk ones are just little flat discs.
I guess you're right. I mean, I guess my plan wasn't so good.
Also, where are we putting these M&Ms? There's no bowl to speak
I don't know.
Of.
We're not talking about a very big table here, guys. We're not talking about a very big table. We're talking about a small table with three, count them, three people sitting at it. And you know that I'm Matt Rogers, and you know that's Bowen Yang, but who is the third person?
Who could it be?
Could it be one of our chicas?
Our chicas!
When I saw her today, I said, my chica!
You did. You did say that.
HPJ is chortling over there.
HPJ got us some gorgeous Pinot Grigio.
Say the brand.
Regalato.
Regalato.
It's a Venetian. It's a Pinot Grigio delle Vignette.
I haven't tried it yet, so I'm going to do a small sample.
Look, I'm butchering my Italian, but this is a true...
Ooh, very dry.
It's very dry. I was saying it's dry, which I like. And normally I don't like dry wines. Okay, here we go.
Pinot Grigios.
Speaking of Italy.
Famously.
Italian... goddess is with us tonight. Let's tell the guests who she is.
Let's talk about credits. You may be hearing this iconic voice on the podcast How to Be a Beefy Lady. And
ooh,
this is an independent podcast.
There you go.
Now this is a untethered podcast. That means the podcast has the sky's the limit.
Sky's the fucking limit and Blair's her own boss.
Now you've seen her, not just heard her. You gave away the name, you stupid bitch.
I'm sorry.
You've seen her, not just heard her, on MTV's Ladylike. And, you know, if you happen to be in Montreal in July, you might have caught her on stage as one of Just for Laughs' new faces in the stand-up category.
Ooh, she...
Which some would say is the premier category.
The premier category. She really... She's a good one.
She's a good one, and she just literally broke our hearts, actually, by saying that she was
moving to
flying
LA.
Away and going to LA. But I'm happy that we got her in the studio before she makes the big move.
Oh, yes.
And she looks unreal.
Okay, and we're going to talk about this look.
Yes.
Here we go. Guys.
Welcome, Blair Saki!
Oh, my God. Hello. I can't even tell you what a fucking thrill.
Oh, my God, Blair.
Listen, this is a thrill for us.
It's a thrill for us.
I mean, if anyone has ever been on the internet or heard anything I've ever said or seen one of my Instagram stories, they know that I'm a fucking freak for Matt and Bowen.
We're
a freak for you. And I remember probably my favorite part of I Don't Think So, Honey, the second one, was literally looking over and seeing Christy Cello and Blair Saki, like, laughing and living and giggling and moaning and foaming.
I gotta tell you, Blair's Instagram story from that night.
Yeah,
was like,
that was lit.
I felt like a fucking.
You are.
I'm gonna bring this. I'm gonna make this about me. She like was like selfieing him from the mirror in her room, being like, "On my way."
it was the goddamn Kevin Hart concert.
Yes, the concert, the Kevin Hart concert.
You know, he performs in the stadiums.
You guys are my Kevin Hart.
Oh my God.
I was like, I have a night off, and I am putting on my best dress to go sit on the floor.
No.
And see these gorgeous men.
But you know Blair slayed it at the first live show, too.
Slayed it. And speaking of gorgeous dresses, you're wearing
a romper? No.
Is it a romper?
No, it's just a shift. Is this a shift? A long sleeve.
What's the difference between a shift and a you know, a regular?
Shift to me is a straight cut.
Oh, a straight cut. See, yeah. What I love about this, and it's, what color would you call that? Because I'm famously colorblind.
Of the flowers or the sol of the background?
The background.
The background, I'm going to say is
navy.
I'm going to even go further and say it's a Bondi blue. It's a deep blue with purple tones, and it's rich and gorgeous.
And it has orange flowers on it?
And orange, and you know what? I'm going to say Mandarin tangerine flowers.
Ooh.
I was gonna go tangerine too.
Yes, yeah. It's a deep orange.
Thank you.
And now this is for a special occasion. There's gonna be a date tonight. But you know what? I think this is a perfect blend of the fall and the spring.
Thank you so much.
Because we're saying goodbye to the summer, and you know what? I am fucking so happy about it.
I have some reservations about that. But okay. Just really quickly before we move on from Blair's look, it's the perfect middle ground between this is a straight up capital D date look, or this is just my everyday wear, and I think you nailed it, Blair.
Thank you so much. I wanted to show my collarbone.
Yes.
But also have a little loose, you know, casual.
Yeah, and you're going to be very comfortable in it, too.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
That's what's most important. You never want to, when you're on a date, and I literally haven't gone on a date in, I think.
Oh, neither have I.
Years.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you never want to be, like, distracted by anything.
No.
I feel like you need to be very present, and you don't want to be distracted by what you're wearing or feel shitty about what you're wearing.
Yeah. And
it's important to pick the right thing to wear.
And truly, for gays out there, I will say,
listen up, gays.
You will never be fully prepared for a date because you will probably not have access to a bidet before. And I will never feel fully prepared for a date unless I have a clean hole. And most of the time, I don't. And that's just right there for you. It's an asymptote. It's a limit. You will never reach that ideal and just live with that. And that's what I'm saying. And I'm sorry to make this about
asses. No. I feel the same way. Obviously, it's not the exact same.
No, please.
But if I am thinking, okay, something is going to get in here tonight,
yeah. Uh-huh.
I'll go into the bathroom, and I'll do a little cleanup,
yeah.
See what's happening,
right.
Some soap and water.
Love it.
Yeah.
I'll walk out, a hair toss, I feel ready to go.
Yeah, there
yeah.
you go.
Honestly, for me, it's like, if you go to the lengths of like a full excavation, which is like sometimes like what we do.
Full excavation.
Sometimes that in and of itself, even if the date is not going great, like you will see it through because you put the work in.
100%, I can't imagine.
No, yeah. That's just like, I mean, if you spent an hour getting ready. And I also realized that many women, like, this is just part of getting ready at
sure,
all.
Sure, sure.
Like, it's just
oh,
part
yeah.
of the gig.
Yeah.
But, like, if I spend an hour on specifically an area,
yeah,
it's like, I would like the area to be, like, seen.
Sure.
While it looks so good.
Well, I'm just bringing that up as to illustrate that, like, you will most likely never reach that ideal, so don't be too precious about how you're presenting yourself or worrying about anything on a date. So I'm just saying that. Dates, Blair, Agree, disagree. I mean, no, this is so stupid and basic. What? Dates are bad.
Oh, I don't like. Do you enjoy dating?
Well, here's the thing. I had, you know, a very private breakup this year. And so then I did take not 7, 8, but 9 months off dating.
Love it.
You know, which in contrast to the other partner who was a, you know, day turnover.
And he, oh, okay.
Was
no.
A one
oh,
day turnover. Horrible. My,
Jesus.
Everyone I was looking, the days looked that much longer. But, you know, I need an incubation period.
Yep. Yeah.
So I recently just started dating again a month ago. Great. And now it's great. And I think before that, I was thinking, I don't want to do this at all. Very closed off.
Yep.
And then my therapist was like, you need to think about dating again because it's going to get to be such a big thing in your head that it's going to be scary, and you just need to treat it casually like you're just meeting someone new and learning about them.
Yeah. Oh, that's huge.
So, yeah, now I've been being real casual, just enjoying no pressure type thing.
Yeah.
I love that.
See, I went through something similar where I went through a breakup as well, and I, like, my right away was to be very social right away.
Mm-hmm.
But and I don't mean, like, dating. I just mean, like, social.
Yeah.
Like, going
sure.
out and doing things. And his experience with the breakup was different. Like, he wanted to, like, really, like, be introspective. And so now it's at the point where he is going out and seeing people
right.
now, and I'm kind of like in the phase where it's like, actually, I'm going to be a monk for the next 6 months.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's flipped,
and now I'm like, I don't know how I feel.
Sure.
So now, because like, it is a thing. It's like, it's so much more than thinking about how do I feel. It's also, you do compare yourself a little bit to the other person and their rebound rate.
Right. Like, 100%. And because that was like such a public thing, and it was like, oh, okay. It made my way more obvious. But obviously.
Right.
I'm actually very introverted. Like, I love to stay at home, which makes it very hard to be a comedian every night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I love to binge watch, lock up the doors.
Yep. Yes.
Binge watch till death and just like never. The only contact I have with people is through text.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I love that. I feel that.
To be honest with you, lately, I've been feeling the same way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my days of going out and doing like 5 or 6 shows like a week, which I know with stand ups it's like a lot more.
Yeah,
you'll go out and gig like 3 shows a night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
regularly. Maybe
it's too
even
much,
more than that.
Honestly.
Like, I feel like, especially like in the UCB scene, which is like where I'm in, and Bowen is like dipped his toe in, and, like in for some time.
I've dipped my toe.
Dipped his toe, but like with like. You get so, it gets to be so much. Now whenever I go over there, it's like, I really enjoy being there, but you never know who you're going to see. I think with this last DCM, I kind of realized like, oh, my like, it's not even social anxiety. It's just like, I'm so tired socially.
Yes.
I really would rather be home now.
Our lives are exhausting.
Shows. Yeah.
I tell that to my friends who are like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm staying in. I'm so fucking boring. And I'm like, our lives are exhausting. I need one day a week. 24-hour silence.
Yeah.
Have to.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel so much better about it.
Yeah.
And then maybe you get something done for yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I, you know what I've been doing, guys? And it's sad. First thing the fucking morning, I'll brush my teeth and I'll like, splash water on my face.
Thank God.
But I will go straight to that $600 gaming laptop and wait for a fucking dungeon or a raid on this online RPG. Final Fantasy 14.
You are a video gamer.
I'm a gamer, but I'm not. I will never fucking play an Overwatch because I don't want to fucking deal with more shitty people on the fucking internet than I have to. Oh my God. Overwatch? Haven't even played it, but I just hear horror stories about the culture and the people, and I hope they all fucking get a life.
I wish I knew what it was, but we know.
I don't know.
Hot Producer Joe's laughing because he agrees.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
You have my full support.
Yeah, seriously, you have to deal with.
Thank you.
Like, you have to deal in your time the way you deal.
Yeah.
I think for me, like, I'm trying to find, like, a new, I guess, like, hobby. Because for me, the way I fill that alone time is a lot of, like, being on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, being on, like, Twitter.
I noticed
like,
you reading a lot more. You're reading a lot more.
Well, I have been reading some books.
Yes.
But
you've been reading interviews. You've been quoting interviews. You've been really dredging. Not dredging. You've been scraping all this gorgeous, delicious social drippings. These social drippings.
Well, yeah, I guess like I try to like keep up to date with what's going on in the world, but also like at the end of the day, like you're still sitting on your couch on your laptop. You know what I mean? Like, fine, I wish I enjoyed some. Do you enjoy something that you?
Well, you know, when I was in the trenches of humiliation and despair, where I was like, my friends were texting me like, "Don't kill yourself."
Oh my God!
And I was like, Lord. "Okay, I won't."
Yeah.
Thank you. But I started going to yoga every day, and it was hilarious because, you know, that's not me. And so,
still not you?
No, it's me now.
Oh, great.
But you found your own way of enjoying it.
I did. Well, I was just like, okay, I gotta show up for this every day and, you know, maybe. And then it really helped me. Oh, my God. Not to get serious, but I started believing God again.
Wow. There you go. Come on.
Oh, what a roller coaster.
I love it.
No, for
it's
real.
It's been back and forth 1 million times. Uh-huh. All my friends are always like, yeah, we're afraid you'll end up in a cult.
And would it even be that bad if you did? Okay.
It depends on the cult. It truly depends on the cult.
No, I'm not born again now, even though I did decide to believe in God again. Because now I'm too old and too wise to know that I am too mischievous to be a part of an organization.
But that's beautiful.
Too mischievous to be part of an organization.
Too mischievous. I think that might be titled.
The title is too mischievous.
No, it's too mischievous to be part of an organization. Maybe. We'll see. We'll cut it down.
Long, but we'll talk.
But Blair, I don't think that's a bad thing that you found this by yourself and it's all coming from within. And it doesn't have to be. Maybe eventually it will be, but right now it doesn't have to be validated by other people. It's just yours, and that is huge, and that is beautiful.
But how did you come to that?
I don't know. I think when you're in such pain,
yeah,
and you're just like, I didn't even know. Like, when I'm in a relationship, I'm 100% in, and I have such like I'm really traditional in the way that I forget that I am. Uh-huh. I'm just so in love and all this stuff, and so when you're that heartbroken, you don't realize, you're like, oh fuck, like who am I?
Yeah,
right.
You know. So then it just started from that, and then
I
journal so much.
Mm. Yeah.
I started meditating.
Yes.
Just a fucking zen bitch.
Huge.
Yeah.
Meditation.
I mean, yeah, people in my life that I've been close to that have been going through something hard, they swear by it. They tell me all the time that it would be good for me.
Ooh. That and probiotics.
Yeah, and honestly, though, one step at a time.
One step at a time.
I can't be a kombucha drinking meditator.
Oh, you'll get there. So weird. All my friends are like, you're fucking weird. You're a weird fucking yoga virgin.
Yeah.
I was like, I know, but this is just what's happening. And like, if I can get up another day, it's good. I would like start crying. And also, I was like bombing all winter too before I could like get my act, because I couldn't go back to my regular jokes.
Right. Sure.
And then so I had to put together a new act. You know, I'd be crying before I walked on stage.
No.
Yeah, just. It was wild, but also because it went through it so hard, it came out of it quick too.
Yeah,
because I just went full in.
I noticed that, and even I think you and I were at the Jane one night for Greta's show.
Oh, I think I was very much still going through it then.
I was really blown away by like just you. I mean, you were. I walk into that beautifully lit room, dimly lit room. You're sitting there on this like velvet upholstered couch with a glass of white wine, and I'm like, Blair, like this is you in top form.
It was a vision.
And it was a vision. And then you talked to me about, you know, what you're going through and how it still felt fresh. And I was like, okay, but look at you now. Like, this is not going to be, I'm sure it was challenging.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
This is not going to be what like ruins you. It never would have been. But,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That like, I was like, no, like Blair is like fine. But okay, I'm curious about this. Okay. Belief in God, is it under a certain sort of religion? Is it like a Christian
denominational
No,
thing?
No, nothing now.
Great.
Well, you know what? I used to say universe, and I was like, that's now fucking more corny than saying the word God.
I think you're right.
I think that you're right.
But to me, it is universe, but now I say
it's
God.
It's something. And not to bring her beliefs in this, but I always find this so cool and refreshing. Christy,
yeah,
Christy back into this,
yep.
is Catholic and is just so open about her beliefs and is yet also like a mischievous little thing.
Yes,
like,
she is
so funny and so herself. Like, do you guys have conversations about this ever or no?
Yeah, no, we've talked about it a lot, and like she's invited me to church with her and stuff, and I'm just like, it's not church isn't for me.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, we talk about it all the time and stuff. Like, I think that was my whole, I was raised Catholic too. And so that was my whole thing where anything I do, I'm always like kind of all or nothing.
Right.
And now that comes with age that you find your own way, that you're not, everything's not all or nothing. Yeah. And so I'm not Catholic at all, even though like Italian, it's so whatever. But now I just pray all the time and I feel great. And, I don't really know who I'm praying to.
Right. It doesn't matter. It's almost like an organization of thought, I think.
Yes.
And also, was it Roman Catholic that you were raised?
Yes.
I was also. So where are you from originally? Remind us and the viewers.
Orange County, California.
There you go.
Hello.
Penny. So I guess this would be a good time to ask this question then. So we're going to ask you the question, Blair, that we ask all of our guests, which is really the central question of Las Culturistas, which is, what was the culture that shaped you, a young Blair Saki, to become the Blair Saki of now? Like, it could be a movie, television shows, music, something like cultural, or like any situation that you went through that you feel like made you who you are today.
Or even, it can even be like Orange County as a neighborhood or as like a culture or anything that like you feel has had an overarching effect on you now.
Okay, a few things. So I grew up in Orange County at the beach. I was like a competitive surfer.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh.
Unbelievable. I love.
I knew this.
I did not know
which
that.
To me now just sounds hilarious.
Very so Blue Crush.
Cool. Blue Crush.
Blue Crush, one of my favorite movies.
There you go.
Kate Bosworth. Realness.
Okay. She had to put on 20 pounds of muscle to play that role.
Wow.
That fucking bitch. So surf. And then there's absolutely Orange County, this gorgeous, gorgeous Sims game is a culturally barren place.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous Sims game.
It is. So I found my way through a few different things. One, Gwen Stefani.
Yes, she is someone that's never been mentioned on this show, actually.
Out of Anaheim, California.
Yes.
There you go.
My God, my truth. Also, cryogenically frozen woman who ages backwards.
It's unbelievable.
Almost 50 years old.
And also, she is very similar, I think, to like Pink, where like something about that, they just keep putting out music that's like relevant. You know what I mean? Like her last album was like pop in the way that like it feels like pop now. The but people, you forget that like, I don't know what happened. Like maybe she was just like peace out on my solo career, or like the second album didn't do as well as the first solo album.
Sure,
but
sure.
That first solo album.
Love Angel Music
Love
Baby.
Angel Music Baby.
Still ahead of its time.
That was defining.
Still ahead of its time.
Of course, there was the Harajuku Girls.
Well, of course, we have the Harajuku Girls.
Here we go. As an Asian person, I will say that I mean, of course, like blatantly, on paper, it is like appropriation and it sucks. But I was just like, this is so cool that like she has these people and she's like referencing and paying tribute to this thing. I still think part of Harajuku Girls, you know, as a single and then as it sort of overarches in that album, was kind of a tribute in a way. I mean, it sucks.
I think she meant it as one.
And it sucks like she thought she could get away with like turning her R's into L's in some parts of that song. Like, that is bullshit. But that album, I thought, was very cool. It was a way to surface Asians in this way that was not, like, kung fu bullshit. Like, it wasn't, like, that kind of, like, hackney thing. It was like, oh, no, these people, like, influence fashion and culture and all these things.
So was it her, like, part of No Doubt, though? Like,
oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
Since day one.
Tragic Kingdom, my first CD.
That's a good first CD.
It was my first CD that I listened to on my stereo in my room with the door closed. Just wild. I couldn't believe her beauty. I couldn't believe her crop tops and baggy pants. Like, and just everything about her, I was like, I will die if I ever have abs like that.
Yeah, she's crazy how fit she is.
Everything about her, I just thought she was the coolest.
Yep.
And then besides that, my brothers, I wanted everything to just do anything they did. So I was very involved in sports, and I had
how many brothers?
I had two older brothers. Mm-hmm. And they didn't let me hang out with them a lot. Mm-hmm. So my mom would take me to the San Juan Capistrano Public Library, and I would check out the maximum 3-week amount of books.
Yes, you maxed out.
I read all 64 Nancy Drew books at the San Juan Public Library.
Yes. That's so great. I love that.
So Nancy Drew, Gwen Stefani, and the Ladies of Blue Cross.
Yes! That's me!
That is you.
Yes.
I love that.
That's great. That all triangulates for you
to
so
a cool
well.
Fucking person.
Oh, thank you very much. Because I just have to also throw in, I would be completely remiss, TLC.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Second CD. Saw them in Anaheim, yes. At the Honda Center.
Oh, my God.
First
oh
concert.
My God. Oh
yeah,
my God.
They were, and also, I think they kind of get lost because Destiny's Child kind of were, like, the defining girl group sure. after that. But people forget, like, the Children Have Forgotten.
Children Have Forgotten.
How amazing TLC was.
Crazy Sexy Cool is just top to bottom brilliant. And even Fan Mail, even their second album is like...
Oh, I like Fan Mail
a lot. I fucking love Fan Mail. And also I listen to Crazy Sexy Cool once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I just thought of one more, and that's Jagged Little Pill.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
That's so funny. On our last episode... Was it last episode?
It was last episode.
Jagged Little Pill was... was also mentioned.
Incredible.
Jagged Little Pill, Mike Kelton.
Mike Kelton. Yeah, that makes so much sense because, and Mike brought this up, and I want to see what you think about this. Like, she was intelligent about, like, her pain because she turned it into something. She probably wasn't this girl that was, like, actually screaming at people and, like, making a scene. She probably, and I think she is in interviews, like, Alanis Morissette is, like, seems a pretty introverted, quiet person.
Yeah.
But then when you listen to her album, you would think, oh, this person is, like...
Angry
and probably a lot to deal with. But then you see interviews with her, and it's just, like, this very kind of, like, plaintive...
She dialed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Also, my mind every day is blown that you ought to know is about none other than Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Uncle Joey on
that?
Full House?
Yeah, the song was about him. Like, strongly allegedly.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how everyone came to this conclusion. She might have said it at some point, or maybe he might have alluded to the fact that it was him, but they apparently dated, like, in Canada.
Oh, my God.
And she was young. Like, really young.
Mm-hmm.
And she went down on him in a theater.
Apparently.
Oh, my God. Of course she did. She's a fucking... You're the queen. You're the queen if you hear this.
She is the queen. Wow. Oh. You have a lot of 90s queens on that list.
I do. And, like, I feel for them the same way I did when I was that age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way my stand-up. Like, if someone... saw me on stage, they would think I was a completely different person than
mm-hmm.
I am.
Than you are in real life.
I'm a full opposite person.
But that's kind of a healthy way to compartmentalize it in a lot of ways. Right? It's like...
Well, if that's true, then I fucking step out there the same way I am when I'm not.
Same.
I like that too, though.
No, but it's like a whole different kind of art. You know what I mean? Like, it's so different.
Right.
It's so interesting.
Like with a Joe Parra, for example.
Mm.
That's why I don't really know Joe on a personal level. And, like, I don't really know what
who knows
like,
what he's like.
What he's like, you know, in reality, quote unquote. Oh,
right.
But I feel like that's another example where it's like, maybe it's like a totally diametrically like opposite thing. But I mean, I find that to be like, I'm jealous of people who can do that, Blair. Like people like you who are like able to like flip something.
Well, to me, I don't feel like I'm flipping something because that's a very real part of myself that's just never expressed anywhere else. And for some reason, like when I sip on the stage, because I am really very laid back and like, you know, I'm usually a beta with people, like
In
all
your
these,
personal life.
Yes. Yeah. And then when I get on stage, that's the person that I feel, and that's what it is.
Which is larger than life.
It's a but it's not, you know, that's really mostly the only time I feel that way.
That's so
and
cool.
I bet that a lot of, and that's interesting that a lot of like your idols, I feel like, would say the same thing because like, I don't know what Gwen Stefani is like in person, but she can't possibly be anything like she is on stage because she's so wild on stage.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember my cousin like was like into like only like Jack Johnson type music, like very surfy type music, and he was like kind of like a bro-y like high schooler, and they went to go see Gwen Stefani in concert off the solo album, and he said it was the best concert that he had ever gone to.
I'm sure.
And then I was like, maybe he's just going to a lot of boring concerts and this is the only good one he's ever seen.
Like a fun one.
But like, I think the kid went to a lot of concerts and like she put on a real fucking show apparently. What do we think of the fact that she's like, is she getting married to to Blake Shelton?
Oh.
Okay, this is what I think.
Tell me what you think.
Okay, so after...
She spun in the chair. She's excited to share this, this thought.
After you deal with someone that's so fucking squirrely...
Yeah, Gavin.
You go the other way to some what you think of as, like, a real man of, like, some sort of cowboy and stuff. Even though Blake has had, like, 3 divorces, he seems like this amiable. He's extremely likable. It's like, I want to not like him, but also I'm so happy that she's got, like, this rebound she's really happy with. This fucking, you listen to me right now. This fucking famous dude banging the nanny thing is so trite.
It's so crazy.
Fuck you. You're boring.
Yeah. These fuck nannies that come out of nowhere. It's like the new fuck buddy, the fuck nanny.
The fuck nanny.
It's like all of a sudden, I think it started with like Jude Law.
Jude Law did it.
Of course. And they all have the prettiest wives.
Yeah, Sienna Miller was his wife. You don't get more gorgeous than
that.
No,
you don't.
Insane. Insane. I remember being heartbroken when that happened because I was obsessed with Jude Law and I was like, he's getting a divorce. He must be miserable. But also, fuck him for fucking the nanny.
Oh, you know how charming he is, that he's a sociopath. Like, you don't get to be that charming and also not be a sociopath, an unfeeling sociopath that could just charm. He could fucking charm a Gringotts goblin.
Yeah. Oh, my Gringotts goblin.
He was also in the remake of that movie, Alfie.
Alfie, which was...
Yeah, which is so...
Starring Jane Krakowski and Susan Sarandon.
And Nia Long.
And Nia Long was in that. Nia Long needs to be in more shit.
Nia Long also hasn't aged a day in decades.
Nia Long is cryogenically frozen also. Yep. And also, I think she's a... Another one of these, another Nia Long, another Megan Good.
Megan Good is literally, she's got to be almost 40.
And I could stand to watch her in literally anything.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The charisma, she's amazing. The gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's actually, you know what? She, no matter what she's doing, always seems cool.
Ugh.
Ever since Cousin Skeeter.
100.
Like, so cool all the time. And also, I feel like she is one that, like, you always are like, she'll always be around, but it's got to be hard for her. Oh, you know what I mean? To get parts. It's got to be hard for her because, you know, all the black actresses that are her age and, like, her, like, there was all that, like, there was that story when Gabrielle Union won, like, she won, like, Essence Woman of the Year.
Okay.
And she gave a speech, and it kind of went viral where she was like, it's amazing to be standing up here right now because everyone in this room, every woman in this room, whenever you succeeded, I hated you. Like, whenever you booked a part, I cursed you behind your back. And that was the way I lived my life for 15 years. And then I had to really, someone said something to me and they said, like, they put me straight. And I really had, like, a 2-year period where I had to, like, sit with myself and say, why can't I celebrate other women? And honestly, part of it is because the industry makes you fight for a certain amount of spots.
That's it.
But also, it's like that. What that creates is like a true hatred and competitiveness. Like she said that she was up for the Kerry Washington role in the Shonda Rhimes Scandal show, Olivia Pope.
Which. I am a faithful watcher of Scandal.
Yes.
But I mean, she would have been incredible.
She would have been incredible, but I think Taraji P. Henson was also up for it. That's the thing. Every black actress was up for it because it was a black role.
And I think maybe that's what she was probably saying in that speech, right? Is that that's just the...
She was like, that's the reality. Yeah. We all went for the same stuff, and every time you guys got something and I didn't, I was mad. But you know what? It's not that we have to hate each other. We have to start hating the reality and fighting against the reality. Yeah. And that was like the crux of the speech. But she was saying like she came that close to booking Olivia Pope. But everyone knew that was like Kerry Washington's part. Because like just the kind of actress she is, the kind of person she is, she was best suited to
it.
But now it's like that's hard because I think she said something too. Like every year it's like you look at the pilot season and there's 2-3 roles for you at all.
Yeah.
So you have to think about someone like Megan Good, who's pretty specific as an actress because she is so like cool and hot and like chill and laid back. You don't really see her do a lot other than that. Like she probably has to fucking fight and struggle for parts.
I don't know, man. You think we're not saying that. That's not true. I'm just thinking of Zoe Kravitz, who you think is the epitome
of cool.
A fucking cool
laid back.
And hot. Yeah. And she's had every role in the world, and I want to watch her to the end of days.
Yeah,
she fucking books her ass off.
Yeah.
She books on books on books on books.
Yeah, I think also, though, that's such an important thing, and it's so hard because, especially, like, when you come in the stand-up world where it's, like, such a singular thing, but what I think about a stand-up besides being on stage, and I love my guy friends, but the most thing that I think about, what I'm grateful for, is the women that I have become friends with. And even this year, and as you get older and you're like, wow, I'm doing this really wild thing, probably sacrificing a lot of, like, I would have been married young with kids and all this
shit.
I'm really sacrificing for this thing in life that I believe in. And these women that I am so lucky to be friends with, and these stand-ups and, you know, other comedians, the smartest, most kind, loyal people who understand you in a way that is unparalleled and will never be experienced. It's the most beautiful thing that I feel so lucky to every day have. I can't even, and make me such a better person. And it's just like, I think, when I think of any of us getting any success, we all get success.
Truly.
You're going to make me cry. That's yeah.
And it's about believing that and letting that be the energy that you lead with. Because that is contagious, I think. The second you walk into a room and you throw a look over your shoulder, that energy is out there.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it has been getting better. Like, the communities are strong. You know what I mean? You don't see, I think, because people have started to call out, like, the bullshit a little bit more and say, no, it's not our problem that that the situation is a toxic one.
Yep.
It's like the situation's problem. Like, let's all, like, work to change this and support each other.
But just to, like, bring these two pieces together and to bring up a lazy example, it's like whenever Joel and I go out for the same fucking shit all the time, it's not like, oh,
Joel Kim Booster,
sorry, another gay Asian comedian. Whenever we go out for the same things, it's not like there's an eye-rolly moment where it's like, oh, of course we're up for this. But it's like, there's no contention. There's no acrimony there. It's just like, okay, if either of us book this, then, like, we've only ever been supportive for each other when, like, those kinds of things have, like, played out. And to zoom out of that, all the fucking gay men in New York go for the same shit. Yeah. Like, and it's...
Right.
But then there's no... Like, yeah. But then, like, by some miracle, it's because of those... It's because of this community where people... Where we've sort of caught up to that and gotten smart about that, where it's like we are able to get ahead of that and not let those feelings get in the way and just be supportive of whatever happens and what whatever success falls on any of our friends.
And that's what makes me fucking, not to be like, ooh, 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 pat ourselves on the back, but that's what makes me proud of, like, the I Don't Think So Honey shows.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because that's literally 50 or 100 people now we've had on the shows who on any other bill would be the only person. Like, that's different than all the fucking washed out.
Like, you can't have more than two gay people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and that just goes to show. I left the stage and someone said to me, they were like, it's so crazy that people say they can't find diversity because you could just look at the show and there's, like, literally dozens of people.
The people that I saw and learned of from your guys' show, and it's so cool. And also just, that's the best thing about booking your own show. Yeah. And, like, I love doing that because I don't think of the, like, oftentimes I'm like, who do I think is the funniest? And then I can easily have an all-gay lineup without even thinking about it.
Right.
But that's, you know, the, like, I am very, the people that I think are innovative and that I'm interested in right now that I'm, like, want to hear.
Yeah.
That gay. Yeah, I hear, like, this, you know, stand-up, it's just, like, I love hearing the different shit. And, like, it's so refreshing and fun for me.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels, I love it.
And every now and then there's a straight white who will, who'll get me.
Not saying that the straight whites aren't good.
Have we talked about this? Matt and I love one person. Who is like a little throwback to the old school.
Oh,
but
I know who you're talking about.
Like Martin Urbano.
Martin Urbano, truly legendary.
Yeah.
He just moved here this year.
From Chicago or something?
No, from Austin.
Goddamn funny.
He was crazy. I was so fucking terrified of having to follow him because he's just bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
And he's so fucking
And so nice. The nicest guy, too.
Yes. Yeah. He's incredible. And I was just praying that I didn't have to follow him.
he, I'm it's, sure you killed.
I mean, she was amazing of and course, great. But the thing is, like, yeah, he is one of those, like, he's just, like, totally something different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, you see that and you're like, yeah, fucking more of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's just cool. And then God. Just see his success after that, like.
Unbelievable.
It's so cool. So that's funny. The kind of thing. And also, like, I'll say again.
Thinking about him.
I'll say again, one of the SNL hires we just found out about it too, who fucking destroyed JFL is Sam J.
Yeah.
And that's someone that you've never seen anything like.
No.
And that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's just very cool. So just like, yeah, just wanting like people to catch up on the fact that like you have no idea what you're a fan of because you haven't even seen it yet.
Exactly.
Like, you've never seen a show with like more than one gay. So it's a shame when people walk away from the shows and are like, oh, the gay guy was funny, and they didn't even know their name.
Oh.
Like, sometimes it's like when there's more than one gay on, you have to know their names because you have to know how to tell them apart when you talk about it later.
100%. And yeah. Also, like, people just don't, that aren't familiar with comedy, they have very little frame of reference.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times, I mean, and I'm sure this happens to you in whatever capacity,
right, yeah,
the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, people are like, oh, like, they'll always drop Amy Schumer in with me just because I have blonde hair.
Yeah.
God.
And so they'll be like, oh, either it's, like, you know, I love that you're trying to do the Amy Schumer thing when I literally, I could not, if you heard her stand-up and my stand-up, nothing.
No.
You
literally nothing in common.
Nothing comparable. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like so they'll lazy. Put her down or they'll say she's better than me. There's just, they'll be like, I like you so much better than her, or like,
God,
you're an
crazy.
Amy Schumer wannabe, point? Like, or something. So like, it's always, that's just the one woman blonde that they know.
Yeah.
And so, but they just don't know, like,
so
you know.
Lazy.
Yeah.
So fucking lazy.
And you also hear about, like, it's amazing too, like, you hear about other comics that, like, they let that get to them and then they get vicious.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yep. Oh, boy.
Not to, like, blow her up even more than she's been blown up, but she did deserve it. But, like, I can't imagine that, like, Eliza's, like, pleasant to be around when the topic of Amy Schumer comes up.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that's fucking crazy.
I will just say this, like, a fucking shady bitch.
Say it.
If you spend an interview...
shitting
you
on other
spend
women.
Yeah, an interview shitting on your fucking own kind in your own community,
yeah,
you're gonna get what you deserve.
Of course.
It's 100% gonna come back around.
Blair, do you do World War II jokes? I'm just kidding. Don't fucking answer that. That's a fucking reference.
I don't, and so I'm not a real comedian.
No.
But I like to spend my days pretending.
See, this is the thing about Blair, and this is like, I think this is why you're able to talk so deeply and at such length about this, is because I think you are so aware of your place in this industry. And that sounds weird, but I just think you just know yourself. You know what you want. You know where you are. You know where you're going to go. And that is so cool, because I think that is something that even I don't even have. That is something that not a lot of people have.
Wow, that is the nicest thing in the world, because... you know, you don't feel that way ever, which is so crazy to me, because I have followed you guys probably before we had even met.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yes.
But then like,
I go to it. I was going to both of your shows before I think we had even met.
But then we were following each other on, like, social media and all that stuff before we had even met, for sure.
But I don't even know. I come from, like, I think an athlete mentality, and my dad is, like, this self-made, like, you work for everything you get type thing. And, mm-hmm. and athletes, you know, you have a bad game and you still have to fucking play the next day. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing anything more than I'm going to try my hardest. Be nice to people. I'm going to fuck up a lot. Who knows? I'm doing the best I can every day. I don't know my place at all. I just hope and keep going.
Oh, I don't think that's true, because the fact that you're able to talk about yourself and the community.
Don't you tell her what she knows and doesn't
bitch,
know.
Bitch, I'm trying to compliment her.
You shut
up.
No,
it's a beautiful compliment.
So you say you come from, like, an athletic mentality.
Yeah.
So surfing competitively, was your dad, like, a coach type? Dad?
Oh, 100%, but not me. My brother.
Right. Oh, God. So that's great.
My dad was a varsity football and baseball coach.
Matt!
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
I've identified with you when you say the kind of you approach it like an athlete thing.
Yeah.
Because a big like way in for my dad for me with like the comedy and acting and like, you know, entertainment industry thing is kind of like thinking about it like but when I'm getting ready for a show, he's treats me very much like when I was getting ready to run like a track meet or something or like warming up
what
or something.
He do?
He's like, "Yeah, you got to get in your he's like very like, you know, he gets it and relates to it in that way."
100%.
And it's so interesting to see this replace that in my life in a way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My dad texts me, and granted, my parents have never seen my stand-up, any of my TV stuff.
Really?
Nothing. Uh-huh. They fully support me now because they realize it's something I am doing, but it's like their biggest nightmare, whatever. So they've never seen anything, but my dad will text me if I have like a big show or something. He'll text me, "Remember, even Kobe Bryant gets nervous before a big game."
Even Kobe.
That's so funny. That's so sweet.
It is sweet. It's so funny because, like, I used to watch all these sports and stuff because, and, like, I didn't really realize it, but it was just to connect in my family. Like, as soon as I moved to New York, like, I never watched sports again. But, like, it's funny because you're just like, okay, this is my family. This is the way. They will never understand this whole side of me or, you know.
Yeah, no.
So that's like, so the funny. Way we connect.
That's why you relate. Yeah. See, we were, man, it's, my dad used to say, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
My dad says that to me.
Yeah.
1 million times.
And I think it's like, I think he thinks he made it up. Maybe he did. But he would like write it down as an affirmation. And that is also a thing. Like my dad, like he would teach like Little League camps, and he would write down like an affirmation every day. And that in its own way is like kind of religious in a way.
Right.
Or like ritualistic. You know what I mean? Like repeating mantras.
Yeah, amazing. So effective. I'm just trying to break down the syntax of this. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So he's saying when you're talented but lazy, you have to work hard.
No. You are deliberately misunderstanding.
I know I am deliberately misunderstanding this, but I'm just trying to like get to the bottom of like the logic of
he's saying that it wouldn't
matter. I know what
he's
saying. Okay, go.
It wouldn't matter if you were talented if you didn't keep working as if you had something to prove.
It's so true though. Like, don't you really like, I mean, don't you feel that way? There's so
of course.
Don't you know the most talented people in our community who should like who are lazy as fuck?
Yeah.
And
100%.
Then people that work
me.
So hard. Yeah, right, Bowen. And then people that work so hard who...
If you have all the talent in the world, great. That means that you better work hard.
I see what he's saying.
Yes.
No, hold on. Just syntactically, on the sentence
he's
level.
He's making fun of my
no,
dad.
No, I'm not making fun of your dad. He's saying hard work beats talent as opposed to talent not working hard. Like vis-a-vis talent not working
hard. Why don't you say it this way? When talent
doesn't
work hard,
hard
workers
no, I'm gonna
beat
say this.
Talented people.
With a talented person who doesn't work hard, the another person who is...
Well, you can't put that on a poster, bitch.
Fine, fuck you.
You can't fit that on a poster, on
whatever.
A goddamn poster.
Here's the thing.
Rule number 71 of culture. It has to fit
on
a poster.
Look, I will say this.
I love it.
Both of you guys have these... like amazing, hardworking athlete parents. The way things were ingrained into me with work ethic were from my two very scientific parents, academic parents who like would pep talk me like before standardized tests, and were just very scientific about it. And like with like stuff that's been happening with me with stuff recently where I've like gone in for stuff, like my dad will just be like, "Yeah, just go in and do well." Like it's as if that's a given. As if like that's there's. Like, not doing well is not an option, which is healthy, but not healthy at the same time.
Right.
And, like, hearing you guys talk about your dad's, like, this is, like, very cool. But also, on the other hand, I think there's, like, there's also merits to, like, the other side of that coin where it's, like, your parents are just, like, you will do well, and failure is not an option.
Well, I'm just...
In a warm, loving
right.
way. Yeah.
And I'd rather have that than the parents that are, like... And, you know, God bless these parents. You probably raised your children to be lovely people. But the people that are, like... Do your best. And that's okay. And if it doesn't matter, that's all right. My dad would never say that. I remember I was in like a real slump in baseball and I was sitting in the car like moping and I turned to my dad and I'm like, I don't know, I'm in a slump. And he's like, well, that's because like you suck right now. He's like, your swing is like horrible. It's like you haven't learned anything.
Oh my God.
You literally look like a mess.
I don't think I would have been able to live through any of that if my father were my coach.
Oh, no, I mean, I also understand, like, culturally, like, that's, like, it was different. Like, my, sure. You know what I mean? Like, you probably didn't understand what I'm saying.
I do completely. My dad, the same shit, like, God bless him, really good dad, but, you know, he's a fiery man. He's definitely walked out of the gym before when I wasn't playing well. But I'm the type of person now, like, I am to myself.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to prepare and work as hard as I can, but I'm saying if I fuck up or bomb, I did the best I could.
All good. And that's a place you can get to when you know, well, it's like, okay, well, I'll walk out of here and it'll be up to me how I deal with it. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, like, that's kind of like, yeah, it's like, well, that's part of it. You know what I mean? I will do better next time because that sucked.
I'm learning and I'm doing the best I can. Yeah. If I'm preparing the best I can and I'm doing the best I can, that's the best I can do.
And if you know what your best is, then it's fine.
Also, like, I only know as much as I know.
Yeah.
Like, I have to fuck up in order to learn. But also when I'm going in for auditions, which I don't audition that much, but like when I go in, I have this thought like, okay, I'm not a size zero. Mm. That is what sometimes my negative thought.
Yeah.
But, and then I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I can just be as good as I can be, and then we'll see what happens.
And that's when you're thankful for the fact that you worked hard to get there. Because at least you look around and, like, if the fucking, sometimes I'll get sent in for these things and, like I'll look around and these other guys around me are like fucking knockouts. Like I'm just like there's no way. No. Cuz there's no way. Like cuz if you put me in a room with like Chris Hemsworth, it doesn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? Like it's like you look around and it's like, "Oh, well, it literally doesn't matter. Like why not him? Like like girls are going to be like learning to masturbate to that guy."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that I was like, "I would cast him."
I try to do. My head down. These other people, Chris Hemsworth and, you know, whatever.
Kate Bosworth.
Kate Bosworth is not in the audition room with me. All I can do. Yesterday I auditioned for trashy, white trash Florida surfer who steals a lot.
I think you tweeted
honestly,
that.
Honestly.
I thought it was a joke.
I think you should book. How did you feel about it?
I think it went really well.
I
ran my scenes, then went to the elevator, had my dirty trucker hat on from that I got in that I had in a party bag from a surf contest years ago. They came out and grabbed me and said, "Hey, can we run it again without the hat?"
That's good.
That's good, though. They wanted to see more.
They
of
wanted
you.
To see it without the hat.
And honestly, can we talk about the hat for a second? Because Blair pulls that look off with a plum.
Yeah, you fucking rock that hat.
Because it's genuine. You cannot do it in a contrived. Contrived with the backwards hat or the forward hat.
Rule number 15, honey. You cannot come contrived.
You cannot come contrived.
And it's so natural. It's not forced. It is organic.
Honestly, it's trashy, but sometimes it's who I am with some greasy roots.
But you know what? There's nothing like it. there's nothing like it. Because I feel like if you're going to come in and you feel like, I didn't shower today or like, I don't, like, this isn't my day. I do sometimes like to lean into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Put the hat on, bitch. Put that t-shirt on. I have a Jimmy Buffett t-shirt.
Absolutely.
And I rock it.
Absolutely. I love a jogger with maybe a crop sweatshirt and a hat. Mm-hmm. You know.
Where do you like to go to vacation?
Well, my family vacation.
Producer Joe knows where I'm going with this.
My family vacation growing up, we drove. This was before when it was safe. We drove down to like far down the Mexican
Baja Peninsula.
Baja Peninsula several times a year with a. big trailer full of shit. And we would just like stop at various Mexican villages and we would, you know, fish and eat lobster and get stomach sick and, you know, it was good.
That sounds
outrageous.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah, then we had to stop when things started going down, but.
Yeah, sure. You ever go to, I don't know, Disneyland?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How you feel about that?
I love Disneyland. You've probably guessed that from who I am.
That's why I ask.
Yeah.
You were so close to Anaheim.
I was.
So you had a season pass.
I didn't actually because my parents hated it.
Your parents hated it?
Yeah, but our best family friends loved it, so I got to go all the time with them. And then I had this shady older boyfriend once that bought me a season pass, and we would, like, go a lot in high school. It was weird.
I wish that was my boyfriend.
Sometimes, though, Matt, what? A season pass can be a trap in a prison.
What are you saying?
Maybe Blair's ex-boyfriend was trying to keep her close by buying her a season pass.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God. It's like when you think your boyfriend might leave you, so you, like, buy a house.
Yeah, or you get pregnant.
Yeah.
Kylie! Oh, my God.
Kylie!
I guess we should talk about Kylie.
But also, no, bigger.
Chloe.
Kylie!
Isn't that insane? It's almost like it was planned.
Okay. So much happened this year where I had to come to face reality, which has been, you know, the cloak has been lifted.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we definitely have had a year.
We've had a year.
Yeah, I might be bi, and I have a type.
Uh-huh. I thought you were going to say I might be biased, and you, like, had to catch your breath, but you fully said I might be bi, and I was like, oh, great.
Bi, I've never hooked up with a woman, but I'm attracted to.
And
like
very
a certain
cool.
No, but it's horrible because I see them through the male gaze, which is deplorable.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just
you're not alone. You're not alone.
I like these women with huge asses and huge tits, like insane, which also makes me sick in Hot Producer Joe because I spend my whole life like wanting to be so thin, and now these women that I want to fuck don't look anything like this, you know, this body that I wanted to hate so bad.
That's just what you're attracted to. That's all just equilibrating, and I think it's okay. I wouldn't see that as you looking at other women through the male gaze. I don't think that.
I also think everyone in their heart is disgusting. If you saw the way that I literally will be walking on the street, and when I see a hot guy, I will turn around and watch them walk away. Like,
yeah, Matt's
it's
a little
crazy. I'm bad.
I can't comment if the girl is skinny with small boobs and a porn.
Oh, I should God, be in boy. Jail. One time, I literally saw Jonathan Groff on the street, and Jonathan Groff is my dream. Like he,
number one,
I am in love with him.
Right.
Number one.
And he was walking past me on the street, and I literally just like kept looking. And he was walking down the street, and I just stopped and watched him go. It was so bad. I was like, if anyone saw this right now, or if he turned around and saw me, like literally stopped on University Place, like just like literally gawking. I should be in prison.
Yeah.
I should be straight up in
you
jail.
Should be. Yeah.
But it's crazy because like you think about like these straight men and like the way they like whenever a straight man is like looking at a woman or gawking at a woman, I give him the dirtiest look. I'm like, "Excuse me, we can all fucking see you.
Yeah, how dare
you? You're disgusting." Meanwhile, there's me like staring at Jonathan Groff's like ass.
No, when gay men do it too, I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I'll look over in jail.
I'll look over at like a pack of gays at low tea on Fire Island and I'll be like, "You animal."
We are animals, though. I want to say rule number 132 of culture. We are animals, though.
That's true. That is the truth.
Yeah. I don't want to discriminate against skinny women. All I'm saying, though, is that you better show me your papers as natural.
Oh!
Ooh, wow. If it's natural,
show me the papers.
Show me the papers. Yes, bitch.
Just kidding.
No.
I celebrate you and your fast metabolisms.
But here's the deal. I feel like my type is personally changing to where now I can't even say that I have one. I just literally
there you
am
go.
Attracted
that is
to
the
what
goal.
I'm attracted to. And that's that. And when... You know?
Oh, boys, I have to disagree.
You have a type?
You have a type.
No, my type historically has been charisma.
Oh.
X Factor.
X Factor.
X Factor, there is no rhyme or reason or
she loves stars.
She loves stars.
But,
but that's not a type. That's not a physicality.
No, because then, like, all my girlfriends are like, really? You know? And then I'm like, but I'm so connected.
He's got that je ne sais quoi.
Oh, je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, the je ne sais quoi can take it a long way. It's why whenever I watch The Voice, I get a Woody for Adam Levine.
Okay.
He has a je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, I mean.
Absolutely didn't even care for him until I saw that show. And then I saw the humanity.
Yeah.
I saw.
This is insane.
I saw the fucking charm.
I know. The sense of humor. I know.
The wit.
No, yeah. No, I love Adam Levine. I do. No. But can I say, I've actually been jerking it to Adam Levine since a young age. We high fived.
I love Maroon 5. Unironically, I want to say that and expose myself to the listeners.
Did you ever see the video for This Love?
I love it, and I love that song.
Okay, when he's like, because he's judging.
I'm not judging. I was obsessed with It Won't Be Soon Before Long, their second album.
Yeah, that was really good.
Top to bottom, all killer, no filler. But I just, I want to keep going. Okay. Adam Levine.
I'm attracted to him.
Okay, that's
fine. What don't you know about him? And of course, we know that Adam Levine is like literally like, to anyone with a sense, pretty much a national punchline. But sure. Go on.
No, he's celebrated the world over. He's
right,
fine.
But like to our comedian friends, like you say Adam Levine in a room and literally everyone laughs.
No, I don't think that's necessarily true.
I love how these people who like sleep on trash bags are laughing at Adam Levine. Platinum artist married to a model with a gorgeous baby.
I mean, we're in no position. You're right, Blair. We're in no position to laugh at him. I don't think that happens.
Can you talk about your feelings about Adam Levine and your feelings about us saying we like him?
Well, first, I think I'm trying to negotiate two things. One, my overall indifference towards Adam Levine. Like, I don't care that he exists anymore. And two, whether or not that's like creeping into like full-on like distaste, because I feel like him on The Voice, granted I haven't seen that much of The Voice, but Matt and I watched it last night, the premiere episode, and I loved it and was so moved. But all I care about, the only person I care about, I don't even say Miley because whatever,
I like Miley,
only person I care about is Jennifer Hudson, and she's only been on this season.
Wait, so is she a judge?
She's a judge now. I think it's really good.
Wait, so is Gwen not a judge then?
No.
She does it like every other couple seasons. So this year, it's Blake and Adam do every single season, and the girls rotate out. So right now, it's Miley Cyrus and Jennifer Hudson, and next spring, the next season is going to be Kelly Clarkson and Alicia Keys.
Oh, and Alicia Keys. Okay.
And then I don't know what they're doing the year after that, but I believe Gwen Stefani will be back. I think the girls now are going to be in rotation, unless Jennifer Hudson or Kelly Clarkson are like huge hits, and then they'll keep them. But Christina Aguilera, too, comes back.
Yeah.
I love it. The fucking drama of the chair spin.
Yeah.
Love it.
Genius.
It's so dramatic.
Christina Aguilera, I mean, no thank you.
I always give respect to Christina Aguilera because she was truly it for me when I was like 8 years old.
Okay, she came along when there wasn't a pop star with any gusto, with any real
Britney.
Pipes. Yeah. But I mean, truly.
There's no place.
There is just nothing behind those eyes.
There you go. Wow. We'll see.
I think there is, and I think it's
meanness. This score has been officially settled at Christy Cello and Matteo Lane's show, Battle of the Divas. There was a Britney versus Christina show. Matt represented Christina. I represented Britney. I roundly lost.
I won.
I am ashamed. But Matt's argument was, Matt's whole thing was very
sex positive.
Was very ad hominem. It was very personal. He attacked me.
I came out as a proud SLUT.
But you didn't.
Sex positive, talented bitch.
Which is great, which is one thing, but it's another thing entirely for you to attack me as someone who you called me old.
Yeah.
And irrelevant.
Bowen is famously younger than me.
And Matt's whole argument was that I like Britney, was old, and somehow he won.
No. It was entirely an argument about my own Christina's own talent.
Which is fine, but then you dragged me into that.
And Britney Spears said she was a virgin And was a liar.
Because her career would have dramatically changed if the second she said she lost her virginity. She was looking out for herself, and you cannot fault her for that.
I don't know, Bowen.
I can fault you for calling me old. How dare you?
You look so old.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
You look like a fresh daisy. I had no idea what I was bringing up. I should have known from the hard eye contact that Matt Blair. Gave me when the name Christina first left my lips.
Blair, here's the thing. The fact of the matter is the show is over and the votes have been tallied and I fucking won and Christina fucking won. So unless he wants a rematch with another pair of pop stars, that's going to have to be Bowen's cross to bear. The fact that he couldn't bring it home for Britney.
Matt, I just want to say at least Britney doesn't feel the deep lacking within herself to do a da 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 every 20 seconds to make up for some sort of deep, deep, gaping emotional hole inside
Britney Spears
herself.
Is one big emotional hole. The bitch can't even walk by herself. Look on her Instagram.
Walks on her fucking hands across football fields. Can Christina do that? No, Christina has to go about living on the rolling chair her whole life, sliding through the roof.
Diva.
Oh my God.
That's a diva. Britney Spears. Look at her Instagram. Look at her fashion shows. You'll see
she's
a lot.
Happy.
Spears has been resurrected in a bikini body, which is not how I rate success or happiness.
You know what? Let's table this conversation. Let's move on.
Let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Here we go.
Now, Blair, this is a segment in our show which has actually been come to be known as one of the more popular segments of our show.
One of the only.
Yeah, it was one of the only segments of our show. We tried another one once, and we didn't like doing it.
Oh, dear.
And so we have I Don't Think So, Honey. It's 1 minute to rail against culture. Mm-hmm. And it's our time to go negative. And Bowen, I think that you should start since I famously started the last dozens.
Will you keep time for me?
I will. Okay. I will keep time. I'm happy to do that. And this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. And it's time. Starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Soft veggie burgers. Bitch, I ordered a veggie burger from Dumbo Kitchen right around the corner from where we record after the gym because I wanted a healthy meal. And look, the second I bit down into it, the fucking burger patty gushed out from the sides like a fucking fruit gusher. It's structurally unsound food. And I cannot be made to eat something like that that will just fall apart and it doesn't have the architecture to be a real food, a real burger. Honey,
30 seconds.
I want the illusion of a real burger and you are not giving me that illusion. You are not making me feel like I'm eating an actual burger, but I'm actually eating something much healthier. And bitch, I want to eat a healthy meal and you're making me feel like a fool, like a foolish fool for eating a veggie burger.
15 seconds. Foolish
I want
fool.
Put a fucking egg in that so you can seal the whole thing together after you fry it because bitch, I don't know who your cooks are back there, but they are not
5 seconds.
They are not bringing home the bacon, which I love because it's meat, bitch. I don't think so, honey.
That's one
vegetables
minute.
In general.
Wow. That was an attack on veggie burgers that are too soft.
Too soft. Has that happened to you guys?
They
fall apart.
I eat just a regular burger.
So do I, but bitch, every now and then I want to be a little good for myself.
Same with me. I like to fuck with a veggie burger even though I'm famously a meat eater. And if they serve up a soft one, I'm not pleased.
No, thank you.
How to be a beefy woman?
Don't eat a veggie burger.
Eat a full burger.
Heard it here.
Okay, I have a good
Matt
one.
Matt Rogers is I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, laundry machines. Bitch, you need to start taking dollars.
Oh.
Stop it, laundry machines, and this quarters only. First of all, bitch, how come we haven't updated it so that I can't use change to build up to the amount you need to use? Why is it quarters only, bitch? I don't think so, honey. Everyone is on the dollar now. The world is on the dollar. They are not on the quarter. It is time to end this plague on America, which is causing us to go down to our local stores, our local delis, and ask them to change out our dollars for quarters. It's inconveniencing them. It's inconveniencing us. It's slowing down the process of getting our clothes washed and dry. I don't think so, honey. I want a machine that takes my single dollar, and I want a machine that takes my $5 bill, and and eventually I want a machine that takes my $20 bill
seconds.
With Harriet Tubman on it. I don't think so, honey, laundry machine.
That's 1 minute. Wow, you want to pay $20 to a laundry machine.
I'm just saying I want the option to be able to put in any bill I choose and then spit back change properly. I don't think it's funny every time I have to go down there and be using quarters. I don't think it's funny at all.
There you go. It's
and
not
also,
funny.
Quarters, here's the thing with them, as I found out today. Sometimes the metal of the quarter gets a little melted and misshapen, and you put it in the machine, and it gets stuck in the machine because the quarter isn't a perfect shape. And so we need to do away with this quarters.
Thank you, Matt. That is his platform. Okay, this is the cause.
George Clooney for president, by the way,
2020. 2020, he might run. Okay, this is Blair Saki's I Don't Think So, Honey. Blair, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is Blair's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, FaceTime. Oh, really? Oh, you think that you are going to get to see my face in the interior of my own home when I'm locked up in my dungeon trying to be personal with myself? You think you can fucking FaceTime me? Oh, yeah. Like, I don't have Aquaphor all over my dried out skin so that it is in healing time. It's in repair. It's in repose.
30 seconds.
And you want to violate me by seeing me with my Aquaphor face and my hair in this scrunchie and Aquaphor on my lips, too. Don't even forget about it. No, that is what text message is for. You're trying to be egregious. You're trying to violate me. You're trying to see me when I'm not supposed to be seen.
Oh.
When I'm not trying to have my face out in the world. My face is always out in the world. I don't think so, honey. FaceTime. Don't FaceTime me, bitch.
Oh, that's 1 minute. Oh, I think you really took that to task, bitch.
You
are being egregious. Quote Blair Saki.
You know who always wants to FaceTime?
This one.
The bitch to my right.
Always
FaceTime. All my friends want to do it.
And he FaceTimes me on the do la de la who on the do da all the do da day.
But you always.
La de la who on the do da he da on the do da day.
I'm the more vulnerable one in that situation. I look like a fucking Jawa the Jabba.
Every time we do FaceTime, I comment on how bad I look.
You look fine.
I look horrendous.
Your jawline is discernible when we're on FaceTime, and I collapse my fucking jaw into my rib.
I have very tired and black eyes. And whenever I look into the face of FaceTime, I have to make an ugly face. Because I have to lean in.
No, you don't. You shouldn't be looking at your own face when you're on FaceTime. You should be looking at the face that's across the fucking receiver, that's on the fucking screen, bitch.
When I'm trying to connect with a loved one, I don't want that connection to be mired with what my own fucking face
Thank
looks
you,
like.
And it's distracting.
It's so distracting. I can't even. I just want to connect with my friend on a pure level.
Yes.
And not have to see what's going down.
I'm truly, I'm a texter.
I'm a texter.
Guys, I don't know. You're never going to fully be known to your loved ones without FaceTime. That's all I think.
Do you FaceTime your parents?
All the fucking time, bitch.
Rosebud told me something last night when I decided to take the night off and have a half of it.
Who's Rosebud?
And Rosebud Baker.
Oh.
Incredible comedian and friend and woman. And she FaceTimed me when she knew I was very vulnerable, 8 episodes in to Transparent without even knowing what happened.
Mm.
Wow.
Told me, and I said, you know, I don't like it when they FaceTime me. And she said, but think about it like this. When you were 8 years old, did you think that you would ever be able to be in different places than your friend and see them on a small device where you're talking to them? And my world broke open. And I was like, you are seeing the beauty in life.
See, but that's really, you're being egregious. Because that's to say that just because technology is there that we should use it. That's like saying, hey, would you ever even imagine drones?
Yeah, but this isn't a positive way, but surely I was being manipulated, you're correct.
Surely
no,
you were.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know about this.
Surely.
She's the best.
I don't know about her.
You know what? The tech world right now is going through an identity crisis, but what will never go away is is engineers building good products that make people happy. FaceTime makes everybody the world over happy, honey.
You know, Hillary.
And no, let me finish.
Okay.
It's a product that is bringing good into the world. And you two pillorying
she stopped
this
me
amazing.
You know, Hillary?
Pillorying this landmark technological achievement. Steve Jobs unveiling the iPhone 4. Can you remember when the earth moved that day? How the world shook, how the tectonics of the world shifted. And you guys are desecrating that legacy, and I won't have any of it.
I don't update my phone until I fucking absolutely have to. And that's my goddamn prerogative. Hillary Clinton says, we shouldn't run from technology. We should find out a way to use it that doesn't harm us. That's paraphrasing.
You are desecrating the words of Hillary Clinton, my hero.
She also said, it takes a town.
It takes a town. She also said, after Trump gave his inauguration speech, quote, that was some weird shit, said George W. Bush. I had to agree, which might be the whole line of the fucking book. It's amazing. That's real. Like, she got real, and she, oh, love it. And I loved when she quoted other people calling her a bitch, because I was like, yes, you never did this before. You're doing it now. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, so this has been an amazing episode.
I think this episode has been really eye-opening, and it was real in parts, and it was tender in parts, and it was hilarious in parts, and it was so fun.
Got into some little fights.
Yeah, and also culture is about, you know, disagreeing and then coming to a certain place and then moving on from there.
It's like a lot of fun and debate.
Yeah. are you a debater?
No. The furthest. I'm like, I'm exhausted. Where do you guys get the fucking energy? I'd rather just disagree in private.
Honestly, well, I feel the same.
I feel different because as Christina Aguilera once said, thanks for making me fatter!
Key that you
fodder!
Modulated mid-phrase. That's cool.
Thanks for making me fodder.
You went, thanks for making me fodder. Loved it.
Bullet dripping over my body. What's the first word of that?
Sweat dripping over my body.
Oh, I said booby dripping over my body. That would be weird.
Sure.
Hey. You know what?
What?
We ate all the M&Ms.
We didn't even break into these oatmeal raisins, though.
But that's okay.
We're going to go eat the rest of these cookies, guys. We thank Blair.
It was the time of my life and my biggest honor.
I'm just going to talk about the Gaga documentary, but you know what? That's for another episode.
It is, yeah.
Just give a three-word review.
Each of us.
Yeah.
That's my three-word review, is Gaga is each of us.
My heart exploded.
Great. Love it.
My review? Mm-hmm. 5'2".
I was going to say rockstar dream, but then I was like, fuck, that's only two words.
5'2", bitch. Okay.
5'2"? I said the first line of the documentary should have been, you know, I'm only 5'2". People think I'm a lot taller.
So stupid.
So, I thought that would have been hilarious.
The actual first lines of the movie are, her first words are, Taylor and I are in a fight right now.
So that sucks.
I love it.
Maybe I'll go home and get totally stoned and watch it again.
It's really good.
Oh, I'm for sure going to watch it. What about when she was like, took off her top and she's like, sorry, I feel more comfortable.
Oh, yeah, that was fucking stupid.
I was like, Gaga, come on. I'm going with you everywhere you want to go. And I just feel more comfortable.
It's like, no, a producer told you to do that, Gaga. It's fine.
I was like, well, at least I know what my hero's nipples look like.
When I fall down to pray, I try to make the world seem better. Lord, show me the way to cut through all this worn-out leather. I've got 100 million reasons to walk away. Baby, I just need one good one. Tell me that you'd be the good one. Baby, I just need one good one to stay. For your consideration, Grammys 2017. Bye!
Forever Dog! This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, J. Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.